Good morning, Bridge City Church. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I will continue to say it. I will never stop saying it. There's literally no place this side of heaven that I would rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising his name. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here doing just that. And we're continuing our series today entitled Big Picture. And I think it is actually all part of God's plan and design that we get to talk about the big picture of not only our lives, but what's going on in our lives and what's going on around us. And this past week was a very interesting week because of three occurrences that happened in our world. And the first one that I want to speak about is it was September 11th. And, you know, we say we never forget, but I'm here to say that a lot of people have forgotten. And one of the things that a lot of people have forgotten, not that the event happened, but what happened thereafter that event. And it was the unity and the peace and the camaraderie that we all walked in the days and weeks and months and even years afterwards. But that's been forgotten. And then there was a horrible act of violence that took place in North Carolina where a young woman lost her life completely senselessly. So that kicked the week off, kind of. And then there was another horrible act of violence that took place in Utah. And before I speak about this one, I want to talk about the big picture. The big picture is that we are all in different walks of life in this room. Some of you came here today just to try to figure out a little bit more of the picture, and you needed to go somewhere to try to figure it out. That was one of the responses after 9/11. Churches were bursting at the seams after 9/11 because people just needed to figure it out. Then there's people in this room that you feel that you have it all completely figured out. I want to talk to both sets of people. Number one, I'm really thankful that you chose to try to figure it out in this room. Number two, I'm really thankful for all of you that think you have it figured out, that you chose to figure out that you don't have it all figured out in this room. And then there's the people in the middle that are living in that tension. And I don't have it figured out. I need to figure it out. I want to figure it out. And this past week, I, as a pastor, the weight was placed on so many pastors across this country that we were going to have it all figured out. And we were going to be able to say something that helped you feel a little bit more peace. And it is my peace and comfort knowing that I'm going to walk in exactly who God created me to be in this moment, because I'm confident in that. For years, I prayed and I sought God that I wanted a life's message, because all these pastors that I was hanging out with, they had a life's message. I was like, that's really cool. God, where do I get in line for that? Do I have to buy a ticket? Do I have to win a raffle? And I remember the statement that God made to me. He said, Nick, your life's message is that I've prepared you and I am preparing you to be a perspective changer in the world that you're called to minister in. I was like, all right, God, well, what does that mean? And he said, Nick, I've gifted you in a way that you've been able to help people that see one way, see a completely different way. And you've been able to do that because of who I'm calling you to be. So I don't know what your perspective is, but I know what your perspective can be after we dismiss today. And that is a little bit more comfort in who we are in God and what our identity is. Another portion of my life's message, God gave me a verse, and it's Galatians 1:10, that I am not in this to serve people or be a server of man, but I'm a servant of Christ. If I were in this to please people, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. My statements today are in no way, shape, or form to please any of you in this room. It's to honor God and what He's called me to do as a pastor. Some of us might get frustrated. Some of us might be frustrated. But it's my goal as a pastor to make us unified. Whether right, wrong, or indifferent, how you feel about this past week, Charlie Kirk was a man that knew who he was and who he was created to be. He was a person who intimately loved God. He was productive. He was effective. He was fruitful. But here we go. Just like each and every one of us, He's forgiven, redeemed, loved, empowered, and sent. Just like all of us, He knew where He was sent to, and He knew where He was eventually going, and that's what He lived His life for. He didn't live His life for the here and now. He lived His life knowing that eternity was the goal. And this is not a political thing in any way, shape, or form. That man was killed because of the truth and the message that he spoke. We're going to talk more about that throughout today. And today's message did not change because of this past week's occurrences. Today's message was written and finalized and processed through before any of that happened. I want to talk not in a political way, but to help us understand that there's a spiritual war going on in our country. And it was going on way before this week. There's a divide within our country over biblical values and how we walk them out. There's a divide within our country that is not a political one. It is a spiritual one. And this spiritual battle is between good and evil. And we're going to have to walk that out all the days of our lives that we are on this earth. And we're going to have to dictate how we're going to walk that out in advance. So I want to pray. I want to pray for numerous things. I want to pray for our country. I want to pray for the Kirk family and all of those affected by it. Because whether you think or not, you're affected by it. And I want to pray for us moving forward. And may we be unified in every single way because of whose we are. And as I pray, there's a picture that's going to pop up behind me of the Kirk family, and I just want to... Nobody should lose their life for what they believe, but if we believe the Bible, it says that we are going to suffer. There are going to be martyrs among us. We're going to have to give up everything for Him. So may we use this moment to bring strength over our families, our friends, our groups that we're a part of, may we not be ashamed of our faith and who we follow. And may we definitely not be ashamed for sharing our faith. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for the first Lord, I celebrate the life lived by Charlie Kirk, Lord, that he knew whose he was. He was yours. We celebrate that he lived his life not for the here and now, but for eternity. And Lord, I pray right now for his bride and his children, Lord, that you would just cover their hearts and their minds with your peace, with your presence, as they live in faith, not fear. Lord, I pray for his coworkers, his employees, his friends, Lord, that they would live in faith and not fear. Lord, I speak that same thing over each and every one of us, Lord, that we would live in faith and not fear. Lord, that we would be humble and confident that the gospel message will continue to be spread across our world. Not just the world as a whole, but our personal worlds. Our workplaces, our families, our friends, our classmates. Lord, may we all unify together and just watch in awe as your church continues to be strengthened and be built. And Lord, we know that nothing will prevail against your church. Not even the gates of hell. And Lord, I thank you that we get to be an example of your love and your peace to those around us. May anger not take over our hearts, but may your leading and your guiding and your truth lead us and guide us and protect us all the days of our lives until we go home to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is all about identity. And identity is something that the world around us is battling for and fighting for and trying to define for us. Day in and day out, our identity is being challenged. Now, I have the opportunity to be around a lot of men different connection groups. And one of the things that always seems to happen in men when they're communicating, and ladies as well, is you introduce yourself and you'll say, "Hi, you know, I'm Nick. What's your name?" And then they say your name. And then you say, "Well, what do you do?" "Oh, I'm a carpenter, or I'm a plumber, or I'm a graphic designer, or I'm a financial analyst." And we do this because we think what we do is our identity. We think that our identity is based on what we do for a vocation. As a matter of fact, I don't tell anybody when I first meet them, "Hi, I'm Nick, I'm a pastor." I try to keep that until the absolute last moment. Why? Because I want them to know who I am and whose I am before they know what I do. Because they treat you differently if they know that you're a pastor. I don't want people to apologize for swearing around me. I want to be around the people that are swearing. I want them to meet Jesus. But we find that our identity is not wrapped up in what we do whenever we start following Jesus. You are not what you do. You are whose you are. You're Jesus's. The statements that keep you focused on the big picture that God's created for us and to help us understand our identity a little bit more is, number one, that you matter. Being able to make the statement, I matter, is a big deal. Being able to further that statement and make the statement, who I am matters. And then making the third statement and connecting them all together, who I am matters to God. You matter to God. You are not a mistake. That is our goal today, that you're going to leave here with an understanding of your identity so that you can go outside of these walls and walk in that. I know that there are people in this room that you have asked the question, who am I? What is my purpose? What defines me? Your identity is not something you achieve. It's something that you're given and you receive from God. Your identity has been set. You don't need to spend your whole life trying to figure it out. You spend your whole life walking in it once you understand it. So what do the scriptures say? What does God's word say about who and what we are? Let's go to Psalm 119, verses 14 through 16. And it reads, it's going to pop up behind me in a couple seconds, so you could read with me. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. You know, I have to say this, that first sentence a lot. When Rachel fascinates me, my beautiful wife, I have to say, thank you, God, for making her so wonderfully complex. And thank you, God. Thank you for making her complex. Thank you for making her confusing, God. Thank you for uniting us together so I'll spend my whole life trying to figure her out. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about perspective. Thank you, God, for making me complex. I know she says the same thing because I'm very complex. Amen. I'm simple, not stupid. I'm just simple, but yet complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. If you think that your identity is something you have to reach for or strive for, that couldn't be farther from the truth. God knows everything about you. He knows everything you're going to ever walk through. He knows you. God created you and planned out your life far before your earthly parents even knew who you were. When we grasp that and understand that, it is mind-boggling. But it also brings a peace and a comfort knowing that he knows you and you matter and you weren't a mistake. You and me and us, we were created with such intentionality. For one purpose, to honor him and please him and bring glory to his name. But you were made with intentionality to be in an intimate relationship with God, and you were made on purpose, and you were made for a purpose. And your purpose has nothing to do with your vocation, your job. It has everything to do with whose you are. Genesis 2, verse 7, God formed man. Out of the dust of the earth, he formed man by breathing life into his nostrils. I've seen like CPR take place, like the old school CPR, not this new stuff where you don't have to breathe for somebody, but the old school stuff, like that was an intimate moment between those people, right? You have to be pretty up close and personal with people to perform CPR. There's not like a across the room thing. God was very up close and personal with each and every one of us as he created us. He gave you the breath that is in your lungs, the blood that flows through your body. He intimately and purposefully created you. And your identity is wrapped up in knowing whose you are and where you came from, but also where you're going. And I'm not talking about where you're going to lunch later. I'm talking about where you're going for eternity. It shapes your identity. When we understand how involved God is and was and will be in our lives, it changes our lives. Everything that Adam needed was created before he was even created. Everything that Adam needed was put before him, put in place before he was put in place. God takes great care to ensure that we as his children live our lives and have everything that we need in the spaces that we've been created to walk in. Nothing happens on accident in our lives. God created us to walk in those places, those spaces, our schools, our workplaces, our family group, our friends group. Everyone that we come in contact with, God has given us everything that we need to exist in those spaces. And everything that we're called to has a plan and a purpose. And God put great thought into creating you and me and those outside of these walls. That is where our identity starts. But there's a tension. There's a fight for our identity. Every single day, there's a fight for our identity, not just from the world, but from our own thought processes and the way we think. We think that sometimes our identity is wrapped up in what I do. Your identity is not based on your performance. It is not based on what you do. It's based on whose you are. This performance-based identity can ruin you. It can crush you. Let me give you an example of this. My whole entire adolescent life and high school life and early college life was all wrapped up in, do you or did you play football? Yeah, I did. But when I realized that football was going to go away by choice, I thought that my whole reason I was created was going away too. And now, things have completely switched. There's a lot of things that have switched in my life, but now people don't even ask me if I played football anymore. You lose a few pounds and they switch your sports. They switch your identity. Now that, did you play basketball? I'm like, why do you ask that? And they're like, because you're tall. And what else? And they're like, well, you're tall and you're skinny. I was like, well, everybody used to think I played football. Why are you basing my identity based on my size? That's body shaming, and that's wrong. And then I say, sure, I'll get that off the top shelf for you. But my identity is not wrapped up in my performance. My identity is not even wrapped up in the fact that I'm a pastor, because I'm a son of God first. The next one that is a false identity. I am what I have. Possessions. This one's a great one. Oh, if I have this, or if I have that, or if I have this, that's what my identity is. Thank God that we're not based, our identity is not based on our possessions. Because listen, I've had a little, I've had a lot, I've had everything in between, but my identity is not wrapped up in what I have. And when I say I've had a little and I've had a lot and I've had nothing, I mean it. I'm not just saying that because that's what people say. I remember losing everything, and every possession that I had was in the back seat of a Ford Focus. Wait a second, you drove a Ford Focus? Yeah. And I fit in it too. Kinda. I fit. My possessions don't base my identity, and they shouldn't base yours. I have one picture of my dad and I, one. And I realized that when I made that statement as at the first worship experience, I don't even know if I have a picture of my mom and I. I have zero baby pictures of myself growing up or anything. It was all lost. But thank God my identity is not wrapped up in what I have or what I don't have. It's wrapped up in whose I am. The third false identity, I am what others say. Oh, the opinion identity, that's great. People are going to put labels on you. Oh, there's so-and-so this or so-and-so that. People's opinions are just that, opinions. And listen, I'm so thankful that I have the perspective now that if people are talking, you must be doing something right. Because people don't talk about people that aren't doing anything. Do you want me to share a great opinion with you? I'll own anything from my past and who I used to be and all those things. I'll own every bit of them. But I had one that came to me one time. Somebody came to me and said, you know Pastor Nick used to be a drug dealer? I was like, where did you hear that? They're like, I was like, well, walk me through it. What else was said? They said you were a really big drug dealer. I was like, well, I'm really big, but I was never a drug dealer. I was like, that's a good one. That's a really good one that somebody made up about me. And I was like, let's walk this out a little bit. This opinion that was shared with you. I would have been and would still be the worst drug dealer in the world. Why? Because if somebody would have came to me and said, listen, I need this, I don't have no money, I'd be like, listen, just take it. You need it. You look like you need it. Just hit me back next week. Or don't, you know what, don't even, because I don't lend drugs, I give them. I would have been the worst drug dealer. But that was somebody's opinion, because people talk. Let them talk. Oh, this is another good one. I am my past, my regrets, my shame, the things that I did and the things that were done to me. If you're allowing for your past to do anything but point you towards your future, you're stuck. Your past is exactly that. It is your past. And Jesus died on the cross for it. He died on the cross for your future as well. I'm excited about my past now. Because I used to be a scared, broken, depressed little boy that when he found alcohol, that's where he ran to. And I was good at it. But then I found Jesus, and my identity was not wrapped up in my shame and my regrets and my stuff. Here's the last one. I am my struggles. You are not defined by your addictions of the past, your addictions of the present, or the labels that people put on you. You are not, that is not your identity. God knows you, he sees you, and he cares for you, and he created you for so much more than that stuff we just went through. We were created to be in relationship with God. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's not going to stop. It's not going to run out. He's not going to give up on you. Because he knows the plans and the purposes that he has for you. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Listen, when kids know that they are loved and that they are cared for and that they are accepted, they have a confidence that empowers them to walk out the things that are before them. It calls them and helps them to be their best. When we know that our Father in heaven loves us very much, it empowers us to be our very best, not for ourselves, but for him. I want our lives to do nothing but honor the Father in every single way. Honor your position as a son or a daughter of the King. When we know the love of our Father in heaven, it empowers us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It's in our human nature to want to take credit for things, but we can't take credit for this one. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. You're a masterpiece, a work of art. You're not a mess up. You're not a redo. You're a masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. You're a masterpiece. I just really hope that I like get pictures of people that go home and they get like those red stanchions that they put around pieces of art, and they're like standing in the middle of like, no, don't come near. Don't touch me. I'm a masterpiece. Just look. Right? And you do not have to like go out today and like greet people and say, hi, I know I'm talking about you not saying what you do as your identity. Please don't go to like Giant Eagle or Walmart or Aldi today and say, hi, I'm a masterpiece. That's just weird. Like, don't do that. Let them figure that out on their own. But I want you to know that. When you're walking according to his plan and his purpose and with his people and with him, you're a masterpiece. Who you are is based on whose you are. In Christ, when we understand that we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are empowered, and we are loved, and we are sent, it helps us to walk out our purpose. Right, wrong, or indifferent, your feelings towards Charlie Kirk, he knew that he was forgiven. He knew that he was redeemed. He knew that he was empowered. He knew that he was loved. And he knew what he was sent to do. He knew his calling. I want all of us to walk in such a way that we know exactly whose we are and we know exactly what we're sent to do. We're sent to make a difference in our world. The people around you should be different because they know you. And they shouldn't just be different because they know you. They should be different because they know you and you are representing Jesus in their lives. That's the difference. We were created to make a difference in our world. And I'm not talking about the nations here. Yes, as the church, as us unified together, we're called to make a difference in the world. But I'm telling you to make a difference in your world. You're going to have the opportunity to minister to people and talk to people and care for people that I may never meet. That's your world. I don't live in your neighborhood. I live in mine. I don't work where you work. I work where I work. That is your world. I'm not a part of your family. Now, wait a second. I know we're all unified by what Jesus did on the cross. We're all one big happy family. I get that. But I'm not a part of the family you were born into. I'm not your long-lost brother. You have a family that you can minister to all the time, and they're the hardest people to minister into the world because they know you before you knew Jesus. Make a difference in your workplace. Make a difference on the street that you live in. Make a difference on the commute that you have to work with the people that you commute with. Make a difference on the committees that you're a part of and the study groups that you're a part of in school. Make a difference. Because you know whose you are, and who you are matters. Be productive in everything that you do. Be creative in everything that you do. Multiply everything you touch. Because God has given us as his children dominion over the land that we're called to walk in. Walk in who he created you to be. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 said, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You have dominion over snakes. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We have been created to bear the image of Christ. To bear the image of God in everything that we do. When people look at you, they should see that there's something different about you. And you should be able to point to Jesus eventually for them. Walk out the word that is being preached to you all the days of your life. Walk out the word that you're reading. Walk out what God has called you to do. Bear his image everywhere. In everything that you do. I met a young man this past week. I'm excited for you to get to meet him and his family. Hopefully he'll be a group on Wednesday night for the guys in the room that are a part of our group. On Friday evening, I got home from work, and Rachel was out, and I was going to meet her and Lennon, and there was a young man that I've met before walking past our house, but never had a long conversation with him, just, you know, greetings, hey, how you doing, have a good day, nice, blah, blah, blah. But this past Friday, he walked past, and he shouted out to me, he's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, I'm doing good, man, how are you? And he starts walking towards my house, and we start talking. I introduced myself to him. I got his name. And we started talking more and more and more about him and how excited he was that he was seeing his family grow and there was things happening within his family and all these things. And we got all the way to the end of the conversation and I answered the question he asked way in the beginning. What do you do for work? And after I already got to talk about Jesus, I already got to talk about our connection group, I already got to invite him to church, I'm a pastor. And you would have thought he saw headlights and he was a deer. I was like, yeah, man, I like to let people know a little bit about me and who I am and what I stand for before they know what I do. And he said, he's like, you know, man, I just really wanted to talk to you today because I wanted to tell you something, and I didn't know when it was going to be able to come out in our conversation. He's like, but every time I walk past your house. There's just a peace. I don't know what it is. He's like, there was just a peace, and now I know. It was Jesus. It was his presence, and it was him trying to pull me back. And I was like, listen, man, I'm excited that you experienced that. And I was like, there's even more peace inside. Like, if you come to group on Wednesday night, there's more in there. And may we understand that in everything that we're called to do, we're supposed to represent Jesus. And we don't have to preach. We don't have to shout from the roof. We don't have to yell. We don't have to be angry on social media. We just have to bear the image of Christ in everything that we do. I know this last week has incited anger in people. I get it. I wanted to be angry too. On Monday, before any of this happened, there were some things I wanted to be angry about. But anger doesn't dictate our lives. Frustration doesn't dictate our lives. Jesus does. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and over the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. Walk in knowing who you are and who you were created to be. One of the ways that you walk in knowing who you were created to be is by walking with people that are going to constantly remind you and tell you. If you haven't signed up for a group yet, there's still time. You need people that are going to walk with you and remind you who you are and who you were created to be and whose you are. You need people that are going to remind you that you matter. Romans 8. My favorite chapter in the Bible, because it talks to us and helps us understand our identity. When we walk in an understanding of who we are, it changes everything. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, empowered to walk out all the things that the Father has called you to do. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. There's so much in these verses. The first one is the world wants us to live in fear. The enemy wants us to live in fear. But we were not created to live in fear. We were created to live in faith. Fear doesn't do anything but make you fail. I'm not only a recovering people pleaser, but I'm a recovering being in fear person. I was so afraid of failing that I ultimately wouldn't try, and then I would ultimately fail, but I was in control of the failure. Instead, we received God's Spirit, which fear has nothing to do with. He adopted us as his own children, and we've cried out to him, Abba, Father. One of my favorite things to hear from Rachel is whenever Lennon and I are together and Lennon does something and she looks right at me and she says, he's just like you. Sometimes she says it in fascination, like, he's just like you. But I want want that to be said about all of us. When people see us, they see Christ and they see our Father and they say, you're just like exactly who he's called you to be. You're just like him. You emanate his love and his peace and his joy. But we first have to become a joint heir. And to become an heir, you need to take your rightful position. And to take a rightful position, you need to understand who he is and cry out to him. And we need to understand that even after we do that, we're still going to endure suffering. But we know where we're going then. This statement that I'm about to make, I've made it before, but it hits a little different this week. You're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. And as a matter of fact, you're not promised this afternoon. Our life can be done in an instant. The one thing that we are promised is that we're going to stand before God one day, each and every one of us, and we're going to have to give an account for our life. And I want to make sure that as many people as possible in my life and those around me hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, not the words, you didn't even know me. So if you're in this room today and you don't have one of those days where you've cried out to him and taken your position as a son or daughter of the king, where you've repented of your past and received the forgiveness that he poured out for you on the cross so that you could walk into your future, I want today to be your day. September 14th, 2025, at 11:56 a.m. And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but one of the greatest things you'll ever do, and that is just reach your hand up to heaven and say, God, I need you. I've tried on my own, and it's gotten me nowhere. I need to take my position as a son or a daughter. I need to walk in your forgiveness and walk in your freedom so that I could be led into my future. Maybe you've received that gift before and you tried to return it and you want to re-up that decision today. Either or, just reach your hand up to heaven if I'm speaking to you. Say, God, that's me. I need you. Amen. Anyone else today? Listen, if you raised your hand, somebody's going to come alongside with you and just pray with you and encourage you and help you understand the decision that you just made. All of us, now we got to go walk in our identity and continue to be a light in dark places and invite people into a relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about just inviting them into a place. I'm talking about inviting them into a relationship. Continue to build his kingdom in everything that you do. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we were created to be. Lord, I thank you that you've granted all of us who have accepted you an eternity with you. Lord, that you've given us all the right to brag about the fact that we are children of yours. Lord, help us to understand that we are completely reborn in our lives, not by a physical birth, but by a spiritual one when we receive you. And Lord, I pray that you would give each of us a passion to walk out the plan that you've put before us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Listen, I talked about it's time for us to go build the kingdom now. And I'd like for you to check out a video about this month's Kingdom Builders Initiative. Check it out.